MLB.tv on ESPN is your home for every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Catch your favorite teams and players, plus MLB Network and ESPN app features like multi-view, syncing your stats, key plays, bets, and fantasy, all in one place. Sign up now for MLB.tv in the ESPN app. Separate subscriptions required. Blackouts and other terms apply. Visit stream.espn.com/MLBTV for more information.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Mike Brown. My God, what a job he did.
I couldn't believe it was happening.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm even so happy I would hug James Domo for a split second.
Earlier on the show, MLB insider Jeff Passan. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. ESPN college football analyst Josh Pate. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour two of the Rich Eisen Show here on this June Tuesday. We're on the back half of June already. We're hurtling towards your summer plans, potentially. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network joining us here to kick off this hour. Good to see you, Tommy P. How are you, sir?
Good to see you, Rich. What's up to my boys in the studio?
Tommy P. What's up, baby? What do you got, brother?
I'll tell you.
I'm here.
What he's got is, I mean, I guess this is a perfect time to say that Henry Winkler's on tomorrow's show since he's dressed like he is the Fonz right now.
Well, I thought Tom might have seen, you know, Jeff's hit earlier and wanted to one-up him.
Is that right? Well,
department.
Jeff had the peacoat and the camel hair.
He was looking sharp, yo.
Okay, we got that. And now we've got another insider.
Is he wearing that indoors?
Yes.
That's a lot of layers for a man in June sitting in his office.
Well, it was on the
we kind of asked him
to
do
it. It was on the photograph that we used going to break to tease that he was coming up. Yeah. And he's like, he had it. So, I mean, but good to see you. You're
good
with
to
me,
see
Leather.
You as well. All right,
Tom. So, listen.
That's a members only code.
Stop it. What happened with Brendan Sorsby in Texas Tech, Tom? What happened?
I want to qualify everything I say about Brendan Sorsby by first adding, Brendan Sorsby is not a victim in all of this. We all know why it got to this place, whether you want to call it an addiction, a compulsion. He was making bets, some of them against the rules. He got himself into trouble. He went away to rehab to address that issue, came back. Texas Tech was willing to embrace him and bring him back. What we saw take place over the last couple of weeks has very little to do with Brendan Sorsby. It is something much bigger than Brendan Sorsby. I'm sure, Rich, you've felt in your couple of decades in California an earthquake before. Mm-hmm. Right now, the ground is shaking underneath college football. And your first instinct when you feel the ground shaking is grab onto something for support. That is what everybody is doing, whether it is teams, conferences, the NCAA. For 5, 6, 7 years now, everything has been floating into the air and the room is shaking. There appear to be no rules. Things are being decided in the courts. What took place was Brendan Sorsby used the court system to his advantage. He paid a lot of money to do that and to hire Jeffrey Kessler and hire top representation and get an injunction from a judge in Texas that would overrule the NCAA, which had rejected his appeal of taking away his eligibility. We have seen this with other players. You've seen it with other quarterbacks. Trinidad Chambliss went through this. You had last year, Diego Pavia, Joey Aguilar. They had to, you know, get the so-called Pavia rule of if you played in JUCO, you've got additional eligibility here. What happened after that? The Big 12. You had schools. You had state attorney generals making threats. You had the NCAA appealing and trying to get an injunction to invalidate the injunction Brendan Sorsby had gotten. As much as Brendan Sorsby and Texas Tech wanted to see this through, they believed that they could survive the earthquake. What became abundantly clear, Rich, was the ground was never going to stop shaking. Once things go into the court system, everybody loses control, not just over the outcome, but over the timeline. This could have gone into the season. This could have been the Big 12 threatening and suing to potentially keep Brendan Sorsby and Texas Tech out of the conference championship game, to keep him off the field. There were so many moving parts. And by the way, the deadline for applying to the NFL supplemental draft is next Monday. There was a real possibility here that something on one of these many fronts could have kept Brendan Sorsby from playing football anywhere. He was left with really not a lot of great options. And so the plan, it has not happened as of an hour ago, but the plan is they are going to withdraw the lawsuit that they had filed against the NCAA in Texas, which then will overturn the injunction that made him eligible. It will allow the NCAA's ruling on his eligibility to ineligibility to stand. And then at that point, Sorsby intends to apply to the NFL supplemental draft. And if indeed he is ineligible, then the expectation is that he will be accepted into that supplemental draft. And we'll see where things go in the weeks to come.
All right. Now let's turn to the National Football League, Tom. Because Brendan Sorsby, despite what he has done to help himself and what he's been able to do to realize whatever addiction he had and address it, there's no changing the four words that will hang over him heading to the National Football League, asking, petitioning for a supplemental draft spot. And those four words are gambling addiction and Jeffrey Kessler, period. Those are four words that are associated with him when this gets placed before Roger Goodell and it's his decision to have a supplemental draft. What are you hearing on that front, Tom?
At this point, Brendan Sorsby has not officially applied to the supplemental draft. That's related to the lawsuit, but he intends to. Okay. At that point, the league is going to make a judgment. And of course, the teams are going to be seeking any information they can to try to figure out exactly what, if any, discipline could be coming at the NFL level. And I think that we have to look at this through a historical lens, Rich, but also a modern lens. There hasn't been a supplemental draft since 2019. Why is that? Because nobody loses eligibility anymore. You had COVID, where guys were just getting fifth, sixth, seventh years. You have NIL, which has essentially all the guys who became ineligible because they accepted money, or in the case of Terrell Pryor, in a famous case, free tattoos. You don't have those same issues because now it's essentially the Wild West for paying players. Even the drug policy that guys failed in the past, there's not the same emphasis on that. And the NFL doesn't even test and suspend guys at this point for marijuana. So a lot of the circumstances that have applied to past cases don't exist now. Terrell Pryor, as a test case, was suspended at Ohio State. His eligibility taken away, went into the supplemental draft. The NFL, and this is 15 years ago, decided to enforce what had been the suspension that Terrell Pryor was facing at the NCAA, because they did not want players running to the NFL as a safe haven to protect themselves and play when the NCAA said you cannot. That same offseason, as you remember, Jim Tressel, who also was fired as part of that, which in hindsight, the idea of a coach being fired because his players got free tattoos would be so antithetical to where we are in 2026. But this is 2011. It was a different deal. Tressel goes, takes a job at the Colts. And because prior suspension was enforced by the NFL basically said, okay, we're also going to keep Jim Tressel away from the Colts for the same time period in order to try to make things fair. That's where then, if you fast forward to 2024, I think that Jeff Kessler would make this argument, if it comes to that at the NFL level, that Jim Harbaugh facing a four-year show cause in addition to a 10-year show cause, not just for recruiting violations, but for his knowledge or what the NCAA felt he should have known about an illicit advanced scouting scheme. He's essentially banned from college football through 2038. He has coached every game for the Chargers over the last 2 years. So if the NFL is not enforcing things that apply to integrity of the game in the case of Jim Harbaugh, it's tough, just if you're looking at this logically, to say we're now going to enforce something on Brendan Sorsby. In addition to that, you have the collective bargaining agreement, which dictates the players cannot be suspended under the personal conduct policy for any actions that occurred prior to them becoming NFL players. In other words, if Brendan Sorsby does not have future issues involving illegal gambling or things that violate the NFL's gambling policy, which, by the way, other than those bets that he made on his own team when he wasn't part of the travel roster in 2022 at Indiana, most of these things would not have fallen under what is barred in terms of gambling by the NFL, that even under that, suspending Brendan Sorsby would not be an option that wouldn't come with potential complications from the NFL Players Association and in the courts. Having said all that, Rich, and I know this is a very long answer because there's a lot of ground in history to cover. Gambling is a hot button issue, not just in the NCAA, not just in the NFL, in society. I know plenty of people. I've got friends. I've got, you know, nephews. I've got everyone has a gambling app on their phone. There's, of course, a line between legal and illegal. There's a line between betting on things that you are allowed to and betting on your own team. And absolutely, there's a bright line crossed, even though he wasn't on the travel roster at that point. That's what you're reaching back to, is something from 4 years ago. But how does the NFL now approach this moving forward? Of course, they have taken a hard line in the past on the likes of Calvin Ridley, among others. But even after the Calvin Ridley suspension of a year, they then began to alter the rules and soften things that if it didn't involve betting on football, which Ridley did in some capacities, betting parlays that involved the Falcons at a time that he was on injured reserve, they then began to ease back on some of the rules related to gambling on other sports. Brendan Sorsby lost, by all the accounts that I have seen, something like, or bet something like $90,000. I know people, Rich, that that's like a bad weekend in Vegas. Over 4 years, we're not talking about a ton of money, but Brendan Sorsby has paid a price. He has paid millions of dollars in legal fees. He's lost millions of dollars in endorsements. He is now ineligible for college football and saw his college football career end in a way that nobody would have expected even a week or so ago. And now he comes into the NFL with a scarlet letter on his chest. Is there a possibility here of a settlement of some kind, such as the one that Brendan Sorsby and his lawyers, by the way, proposed to the NCAA that could have resolved all this and had him missing a chunk of the season? Could there be, for instance, even, hey, you can be around the team in practice, but you can't play as a rookie? I could see everyone involved coming together and saying, we don't want this to be a clown show. We don't want this to go into the courts. Let's figure this out. But that is one of the unknowns that people are evaluating as NFL teams in less than the past 24 hours here are wrapping their minds around. This is a guy with franchise quarterback traits who we also have to answer some of these questions before deciding at the end of July if we're going to use a future draft pick to get him.
All right. So let's put a pin in that portion of your answer. The Ohio State stuff is so far afield of what the realities are now. It's insane, right? When you look back as to what blew up the Ohio State program then and what led the NFL to basically say, listen, you can't use our supplemental draft as a way to escape consequences. That I understand. Using the Jim Harbaugh situation, for the lack of a better phrase, as is apples to oranges, because Jim was already had an entire year as Chargers head coach under his belt by the time he got the show cause. So it's not like the show cause was there and he ran off to the Chargers to avoid the show cause. He was going to be the head coach of the Chargers, and that was pretty much the end of it. Was the fact that stuff was coming down part of his rubric of deciding to leave? We'll never know. You could assume. Bottom line is, that's not that. That's different than what happened with Pryor, and what may be the case with Sorsby. But I find it interesting that there could be a conversation of, hey, you go to the NFL, but your penalty, if you will, is you can't play the first year. You can do everything you want to get ready for your professional career, including being drafted and what have you. That's interesting how that would work.
I'm saying that, listen, and to be clear, I'm saying that hypothetically.
Sure.
But remember, Brendan Sorsby, when this first came down back in May and was revealed publicly, he checked into an inpatient clinic in Arizona for something like 6 weeks.
Correct.
The initial conversations between Brendan Sorsby, his legal team, and the NCAA were about a suspension. I would tell you, Rich, factually, was longer than the two games that was imposed by the judge that they ultimately went with here. So the NCAA could have way back in the spring, further back than that, because this has been going on for a while that they were looking into this because Brendan Sorsby had been flagged by the gambling companies based upon, you know, his use of his accounts and his devices. This could have been wrapped up back in the spring. He could have missed a bunch of games, come back and played at the end of the year, and you would have had a really talented quarterback on the college stage. What the NCAA has increasingly opted to do is try to, as I said, with, you know, you're talking about an earthquake that certainly impacts the NCAA, is you grab onto everything possible. And in that moment, when the ground is shaking, you may not be making logical decisions. I would say, Rich, and I understand the NCAA is trying to maintain relevance. They're trying to maintain some level of power as a governing body here. You're trying to enforce that. But what's happening in court is you are repeatedly losing. You are repeatedly suffering these setbacks that chips away at your power. You have the conferences trying to say, well, we should be able to punish a school for playing a guy who we don't think he should have been eligible in the first place. And you have the other schools rebelling and talking about not scheduling Texas Tech. This all happens, Rich, because the NCAA, unlike the NFL, has just not had a history of, well, we're willing to reach a settlement. Most of the suspensions that occur in the NFL now are a product of negotiations. When Deshaun Watson eventually served, I believe it was an 11-game suspension, that had been in the courts. That had gone back and forth. He's going to get 6 games. No, we want him to serve a year. You find somewhere in the middle and you meet, because it's just not worth it to keep playing that thing out. We've seen other cases that have gone into the judicial system. I couldn't help but think, Rich, of the Zeke Elliott case back in 2017. I covered that for NFL Network in 3 federal courts in 3 states. He goes in ineligible for week 1. I come out of a hearing and I'm on with you on the season preview edition saying he can play this week. And it was like, wait, he can play this week? I'm like, that's what the attorneys just told me. He's in for this week. And then that was a back and forth and appeals. It just, you lose control of the timeline here. Why the NCAA continues to do that, one can only ascertain. It is about power and control. It's not about integrity of the game or anything else. But the NFL, they are nothing if not pragmatic on these matters. They want to be able to resolve things. Yes, they will fight, and we've seen them in court, but you haven't seen it as much in recent years. If they try to unilaterally impose a suspension on Brendan Sorsby, if they, and I don't believe that they would ever do this, but if they were to imply to teams, don't draft this guy, that's another world of legal problems. There is a conversation to be had with a known adversary, as you said, in Jeffrey Kessler, who has been at the NFLPA forever. Let's figure out a way that we don't have to end up in court in this. And by the way, Brendan Sorsby is a human being at the center of this. Again, I will reiterate, he is not a victim. He placed these bets. He did it knowingly. It developed into what he has said and his doctors have said was an addiction, a compulsion. But he put himself in this position. He is also a human being who at this point has lost millions of dollars and just wants to move on with his life and play football. He will hear it at every stadium he goes into. He'll have to answer hard questions from the press. He'll have to answer questions from teams leading up to the supplemental draft about not just, well, why'd you make the bets? What did you learn in addiction training? But did you ever influence a game? Were you ever tempted to influence a game?
Boy.
That's the broader piece of this that, of course, teams have to get comfortable with. And again, that's where you have fertile ground here for everybody involved, the NFL, whatever team drafts him, Brendan Sorsby himself, his representatives. Let's take the courts out of this. This is not a courts issue. This is a mental health issue at its core. We wouldn't talk about drug addiction like this. We wouldn't talk about if you had schizophrenia or some other type of a mental illness. We would not talk about it like this. This is a gambling compulsion. But again, if you took the phones of every college kid right now, forget athletes, every college kid who doesn't have these rules, I would bet you a lot of them are making tons and tons of bets and they're just used to it. The same way that I sit on the couch and scroll Instagram at night and watch old hockey fights or whatever the algorithm is sending me, they're getting sent bets and your favorite media personality is saying, hey, I got my special bet tonight. It's all part of this broader cultural thing here. Let's focus in on what makes sense. He's a really talented player who has the chance to have a really, really good NFL career. I don't think it's the NFL's best interest to do anything more than figure out what is the right solution for everybody involved and move forward.
Okay. Yeah, old hockey fights. That's what you're watching on Instagram, I'm sure.
There, that is a huge one. Fights outside of sporting events. Okay. Algorithm seems to think I just want to see people get punched in the face.
All right. So before I let you go, there's two things. So we only have a few minutes to go here. Who's interested? What do you think happens with Sorsby? Who's interested in the NFL and him?
I think that any team with even a passing quarterback need now or in the foreseeable future has to be interested in Brandon Sorsby enough to do all the homework on him if it gets to a day two pick. The real question is, would anybody go and use a first round draft pick to go and take Brandon Sorsby in the supplemental draft? Again, guys who go into that supplemental draft, and we've seen really talented players over the years, going all the way back to the Bernie Kosars of the world in the 80s when this was a more common thing, again, because of, I believe Bernie, if I'm not mistaken, just delayed submitting the paperwork because he wanted to go in the supplemental draft. They've closed some of those loopholes since, but usually guys get downgraded because of ancillary issues. Certainly happened with Josh Gordon because of, drug tests it was at the time. The last player who was taken in the supplemental draft was Jalen Thompson, who's had a really good career as a safety. And he was, I think, a fifth round pick by the Cardinals. If you were in a normal draft, probably would have gone higher. So with Sorsby, if you were setting, and I can't give gambling advice, I will definitely remind you in this segment on that. If I were setting the over under, I'd probably say it's right on the second to third round border. Hard to imagine a guy this talented gets past the third round. So if you want him, well, why not take him in the second? And if you're a team that doesn't have a high second and you're thinking we're going to have a late one anyway, do we roll the dice on him? We know that the Browns have two first-round picks in next year's draft. Todd Monken has already made his feelings about the Sorsby situation pretty known, so hard to imagine that is going to be the team. There are other teams sitting on extra draft capital here. You can go down the list. It's all the teams right now, Rich, that have, perhaps not their long-term quarterback answer. Could the Arizona Cardinals, that just took Carson Beck in the third round and are dealing with a contract standoff with Jacoby Brissett, they got Gardner Minshew in there on a one-year deal. Could the Vikings be interested? They've got Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy competing. That's a hard one to think that they would get into that bucket. But my point is, anybody who doesn't necessarily know who their franchise quarterback is going to be, you'd be foolish not to fully research this situation. Because if Brandon Sorsby had come out in the 2026 draft before all this came out, which would have been a disaster in its own right for whatever team would have taken him, or if he had played out the season at Texas Tech and gone into the 2027 draft, depending, of course, on how he plays, he quite possibly would have been a first-round pick. Does anybody have, let's just call it, the guts or the crazy instincts, whichever way you want to play it, to just say, he's a first-round prospect and it's a quarterback? I'll never have this opportunity again. Let's use a late first-round pick and go get Brandon Sorsby. This is going to be one of the most fascinating things. It all starts here over these next 6 days, withdrawing the lawsuit, apply to the supplemental draft, then whatever conversations go into this. But the anticipation, Brandon Sorsby and his legal team, is once that is withdrawn, he's once again ineligible at the NCAA level. Next stop is the NFL, and we'll see where it shakes
out. And then when is the supplemental draft happen, if it does?
There isn't even a date. No one, forget Brandon Sorsby, no one has applied for the supplemental draft. There hasn't been a supplemental draft in 7 years.
When would it be?
In prior years, it's been the week after the 4th of July. It sounds like this one would probably be closer to the starts of training camps. Yeah. Everything's later this year. Teams aren't practicing in pads until the first week of August. So it would probably be mid to late July. Mm. That would be the timeline. So in between, deadline is Monday to apply. That's June 22nd. You can meet with teams. You can hold a pro day. There's going to be a ton of background work, of course, that's going to be done. He can choose what visits, if any, he would want to take, what teams he would want to talk to. He can try to sculpt the process a little bit as well. And then sometime right before training camp, somebody's going to be adding a very talented quarterback to their room.
Yeah. And who's July 4th weekend and July vacation plans just got blown up, right? I'm serious.
Well, I'm going to be on vacation until the 5th.
I'm talking about NFL scouts and like, because this is a serious prospect, man, with a lot of due diligence that needs to be run here. You know what I mean?
There's no doubt. Now, remember this, though. It's quarterback, and it's a highly talented one. It could have come out in the 26th draft.
Right,
so every area scout for teams have done a lot of background. They've seen him at practice. They've talked to the coaches. Your college director probably has gone. Some GMs have already gone and watched him because they didn't know. Was he going to come out in this year's draft or next? Right, there's a bunch of people who have already seen him live. Now you're going through and doing the additional work. You probably have your head coach and your offensive coordinator, your GM becoming more involved in the process. And then, you know, the supplemental draft, Rich, every year that it does take place, it's always fascinating to see who's the one person who has to sit at a computer. It's conducted via email. It's usually like your assistant college scouting director or some poor MIDI scout who it's like, hey, you got to sit inside today. This may take a while. You got to send in the email at the right time. It's like the one archaic thing that still exists in the NFL universe. It hasn't been really relevant in 15 years. Here we are with a potential first round quarterback in that thing.
Damn. All right, real quick, very rarely do I ask you, well, somebody contractually obligated to show up has shown up, but George Pickens did so. What to make of it? Yeah. Anything?
George Pickens' agents at Athletes First, David Mulugeta, they do not believe in not collecting your checks or giving up money for no reason. They're generally going to show up. We'll see how much George Pickens actually does on the field. He hasn't been there, so I wouldn't think the Cowboys are rolling him out there for 11-on-11 on the first day of minicamp here. Once he signed his franchise tender about a month ago, you know, a week or so after the draft, that was a pretty clear indication that he's going to show up for everything that is mandatory. He skipped the voluntary things. He's there for the mandatory minicamp. I would fully anticipate that he's there when it's mandatory again in training camp, because once you start eating those fines, they do add up, and nobody's going to give up $1.5 million paycheck once you get into regular season games. He'd still love to get a contract. Jerry Jones has said there's no contract forthcoming. I believe that when the season rolls around, George Pickens, barring a trade, and listen, we've seen it happen with the Cowboys before, strange things happen, but right now it certainly seems like the most likely outcome here is George Pickens is suiting up and playing for the Cowboys week one.
All right, Tom, thanks very much. Greatly appreciate it. Showing up members only style right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tommy P, Tom Pelissero, ladies and gentlemen.
Brother.
Have a good one, buddy. That's Tom.
See you, pal.
All right, let's take a break. Wow. We just got a lot of information. Josh paid on the college aspect of all of this. That's in hour three, but your call's coming up next.
I'm up 0.5% on Instagram.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
While the world watches the stars at the FIFA World Cup, Hyundai has its eyes on the next generation of talent, future stars who are already turning heads at age 14. Because next doesn't wait for an invitation, and neither do we. Hyundai has always moved the future within reach. We did it when we made advanced safety standard on every vehicle and engineered EVs with ultra-fast charging capability. And we're still doing it every day, because the future isn't some far-off concept. It's already here. Next starts now. Hyundai, an official partner of FIFA.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on our simulcast, ESPN Radio's audience has rejoined our Disney Plus and ESPN feeds. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. All right, let's have a little bit of fun here. Franco in Texas is joining us on the program. What's up, Franco?
Hey, Rich. What's up?
What's going on?
Nothing much. I love the show, by the way. I'm here at work. calling off the landline.
Okay, yeah. So, sounds like you're right next to me.
I want to do the win-loss game for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay, so hold on a minute. Let's set the stage here.
17-0, man.
Let's set the stage here. First of all, the music needs to be the Autumn Wind is a Pirate, okay? All that good stuff. All right, but Franco, where in Texas are you joining us? Where are you joining us?
I'm joining y'all from Georgetown, Texas, just a bit outside of Austin.
Okay, and are you off the clock? I don't want to get you in trouble here. Are you off the clock?
Nah, you're all good. You're all good. I'm on the clock, but, you know.
You're working. You're working it.
Yeah, that's all good. It's worth it.
Here we go.
Right.
Franco in Texas.
I work at the tax office. I'm a tax assessor collector. What am I going to do about it?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Come on, Franco.
Yeah, I appreciate you assessing the situation here, which is Franco in Texas on a beautiful landline, which we greatly appreciate. It's so rare. Win-loss game for his Las Vegas Raiders. What happens in the opener against the Dolphins?
Oh, yeah. We're going to come out with a dub.
Okay. 1-0 at the Chargers.
The Chargers in L.A.?
Yes, sir.
You know, we haven't won in L.A., so I'm going to have to take that L on that
one. Okay. At the Saints.
You know, our boy Derek Carr isn't there anymore, so that's a dub.
2-1, home for the Chiefs.
Versus the Chiefs?
Yes, sir. At home.
Mahomes, he might still be a little bit a little hurt or something like that coming back, so we'll take that dub.
3-1 at the Patriots.
You know we always beat the Patriots.
There
that's another
go.
Dub.
4-1, home for the Bills.
Okay, so my best friend Weston is a big Bills fan. Shout out to him. His birthday is coming up here in a bit, but he's going to have to take that L.
5-1. Home for the Rams.
So the Rams, we're going to take that L.
Okay.
We're going to take that L.
All right, but you're 5-2 at this point at the Jets.
Rich.
Okay.
I'm going to have to give this to you.
To me?
We always lose to the Jets, too, somehow, some way. So that's going to be another L.
I have different memories, but I hear you. 5-3 at the Niners.
I'm going to be at that game. It's going to be a war zone, and we're going to win.
6-3, home for the champion Seahawks. You're a head coach against the team he coordinated for.
You know, I think their offense is going to take a drastic fall off, so we're going to take that dub.
That's taking a dub. At the Broncos at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 2 at the Broncos. This might be for first place.
Attaboy.
What do you got?
We're gonna go ahead and take an L on this one.
Okay. 7-3 at the Browns.
This is another trap game. We're gonna lose this one.
7-4, you have a bye. Now you're off the bye, home for the Chargers.
So this is interesting. I think at this bye we may have to put in another quarterback, so I see O'Connell coming in with another big dub.
Okay. Boy, that's a plot twist right there. I didn't see coming. You're 8-4, home for the Broncos.
We're going to win this one.
9-4, home for the Titans.
We're going to win that one.
My goodness gracious. You're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-4, home for the at the Cardinals.
We don't fall for any traps anymore. We're going to win this one.
At the Chiefs.
And that's going to be a clean sweep on the Chiefs.
Okay, let me get this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We're only
six,
beating good
7,
teams.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 5.
What?
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 12 and 5.
And losing to the Browns and the Jets.
Franco and Texas. Hey,
oh, yeah.
Franco, this is with the ultimate of respect I say this to you. Your bosses have sniffed you out. And there's a cup that they has placed right outside the men's room there. You know what I'm saying?
It's okay.
Okay. You just got a FedEx letter?
You know,
in his locker?
I'm going to be running this office here soon either way. So.
Ah, yes, Franco. Yes. Yeah. You're the Fernando Mendoza of your office.
November.
Yes. Thanks for the call, Franco. Call back.
You. Bye-bye.
If the Raiders finish 12-5, Franco in Texas goes in the Hall of Fame.
Raiders win total 5.5.
So he just doubled it. He had him sweeping the Chiefs.
And losing to the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, 12-5,
by the way,
wins the West,
Jets always
right?
go out to, they always went out to Oakland and lost. So I don't know if it's different with the Vegas Raiders coming east.
The Raiders are 15-1 to win the West.
Damn right.
By the way, this 5 weeks, six, 7 weeks, seven, put up one more time, 7 week stretch.
That was incredible.
7 week stretch for the Raiders starting in week four. Home for the Chiefs at the Patriots all the way across the country. Then they come back and have a two-game homestand against the Bills and Rams before going all the way across the country to the Jets, before going to the Niners and coming home for the Seahawks and visiting the Broncos. And they're going to go 12-5.
Chiefs, woo! Patriots,
and then after
Bills,
the bye,
Rams,
they're home.
Or what, four of the 10 games. Best teams in the league?
Man, let me ask you this question. Chargers, folks in Los Angeles or Denver or Tennessee, they want to hang in Vegas around Christmas time.
Hold on.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. So, wow. That stretch for the Raiders is significant.
Get on it, Felly.
So how about him saying, I still have to revisit this. This is what I love about the win-loss game. Because fans add a little bit of window dressing.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that coming off the bye, home for the Chargers,
yep,
is when Aiden O'Connell's taking over, meaning they're benching Fernando Mendoza or they're benching Kirk Cousins at that point in time and not going to the rookie. Right. They're going to go to Aiden O'Connell.
The idea is Mendoza sits the whole year.
Right. And then
in Franco's world.
And then O'Connell finishes off with five straight wins.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Dude, all of that happens. Did you get the memo? Did you see the memo? Right. That would be wild. If he's right, could you imagine he's right in every... That would be like the Knicks coming back in all those four games.
Did you get that memo?
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a quarterback controversy there, right? They go to the playoffs with O'Connell clearly starting, and they'll be like, why did we pick Mendoza? We had to bench him?
Oh, well, overreaction Monday topics.
Okay.
Write themselves.
Of all the things that won't happen.
What's more likely? The Raiders go 12-5, or Aiden O'Connell starts a game this year?
I'll say he starts a game this year. Injuries happen. How many teams go down to their third quarterback these days?
I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
You know what I mean?
But, you know.
And I don't want to sit here and say the Raiders are not going to be a good team.
You could.
I know, but 12-5?
PJ, you like going to Vegas. Be careful. They like us there now. We're on there. Say hello to everyone in Vegas.
What up,
around right now listening to us on the
I can't wait.
Raider
I'll
Nation.
Be in Vegas Big in a Vegas. Couple weeks.
You know, you're getting married there.
I am.
I'll be there.
You will be. I'm excited.
Okay.
Vegas, baby.
Woo!
844-204-RICH, number to dial.
12-5?
Program. Don't go anywhere. By the way, Baker Mayfield has spoken about his contract situation. TJ, your coach, who you love so much, you did cry at the combine.
Well, you know.
Talking about George Pickens showing up and Dak is hurt?
Hurt. I hope not.
Banged up?
we'll see.
Pressure's making diamonds next on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare go anywhere. Josh Pate, hour three, to talk about Brendan.
Let's go to Vegas this weekend. Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
A SoFi personal loan is here to help you achieve something once thought impossible, overcoming high-interest credit card debt. Walk that tightrope of your finances with one low, fixed-rate, monthly payment, no fees required, and as soon as the same-day funding. That's right. Pull off your own debt-defying stunt with a SoFi personal loan. Visit SoFi.com/trick to learn more. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. More of your phone calls in a moment. Hey, George Pickens showed up. He's contractually obligated to do so. You know, he signed that tender.
Thankfully.
We are now less than 1 month. Yesterday was the, it was 1 month from, it's 1 month from yesterday. That is the deadline by which you're allowed to give a franchise tag player a long-term deal. So they got another month to go, although, you know, Stephen Jones already said it's just not happening.
Yeah, not happening. No, he ain't going to be there.
So here's what he's got to do. He did the right thing. He showed up, right? So he won't be getting a whole lot of work while he's there, but he shows up, he balls out this year, mm-hmm. and then gets himself paid. It's very simple. It's a very simple path for him to take.
Well. I do believe that's the path.
And like Tom said, athletes first, they don't play around with money.
Nope.
So they want him there so he can get all of his human monies. And yeah, let's go.
Well, you know my favorite coaching cliches. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. I can control only what I can control. And I'm only talking about the guys that are here.
Which is the crystal ball in there?
Yeah, I don't have a crystal ball.
Well, the that's true. Yeah. I don't have a crystal ball. Yeah. And the it is what it is gets replaced with I'm only talking about the guys that are here when there's a contractual holdout that a coach wishes to avoid talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been, I imagine, Brian Schottenheimer's answer. But now he's talking about the guy who's there in George Pickens.
Nice.
Yeah, really great visits with George. Fired up to have him back. He's fired up to be here. He'll do all the mock. He'll do all the individual, and we'll just keep him out of team. Just let him watch, and he'll be Coach Pickens today during the team period.
Now that you see it, did you really – was there any doubt in your mind that he was actually going to come?
No. I know how he feels about this football team, this locker room, what we're building here, and so I'm not surprised to see him. And I'm thrilled he's here.
Okay. I just really like the way he handles his business, man.
I do, too.
He's really done a job that I'll be honest, I was skeptical about his hiring.
It just
I thought Jerry was going to hire somebody that he could, boss around just like everyone else or.
Let's keep it real. I mean, I'm sure, Unc is still, lording. Remember Geppetto Jones?
Right.
But I like Shuddy. He learned from one of the best ever.
His dad?
Yeah. So yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. That's a great answer. Like, you're going to make him coach. Keep it fun. It's June, for crying out loud.
And he said George, like, he knew who he was talking about, unlike other coaches who were
like Pickens?
What? George? Pickens? What?
George?
Miles?
Pickens?
Miles? No, he was like George. Yeah.
Well, coach hadn't met very face-to-face with the Garrett in question.
Coach George.
Quick question. Can you just put up a still shot of Brian Schottenheimer? Just, put it up there.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think I know what you're thinking because we're both in the same. Is he JFMing?
Oh, I thought
he's 52.
I thought he was looking kind of swole.
Oh well, there's that. Well, he's also he's doing the hands underneath the bicep push up on the left left side. But I'm just saying he's got the gray beard. But,
oh, interesting.
I don't know. As Dan would call it, a fresh coat of paint.
Yeah, fresh coat of paint.
P would call it. You be yourself. I'm just.
Turkey, man. It's what are we doing here?
I'm not saying he got more.
I'm talking about
I'm saying we do the show in Istanbul for like a week.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All three of you.
And then we all come back. And you know what I mean? It's flowing.
Dax got a knee, guys. Dax got a knee.
I got two.
Not just a knee, a sore knee.
Mm.
I got two. We can have
a Dax sore knee. Limited in team and just practice. He's got a sore knee. Nothing we're concerned about, but we're just going to be smart heading these last couple days. So,
Just be smart.
I don't love that.
It's June, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Why is his knee sore already in June?
He might have bumped it into something.
I don't know.
It's only going to get worse.
Like, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Don't worry about it. How about that?
I'm not worried about it.
No,
are you worried about it?
Tell him.
Are you worried about it?
I'm not.
You know who's not worried about it?
Yeah, you're not worried
about it. I'm not worried.
Yeah, you're worried.
I'm not worried.
I'm not worried.
It's June. Why is he sore already?
It's George. So Pickens has shown up, and so has knee soreness for Dak.
That's cool.
Dude.
We'll be all right.
Stories that we get bored waiting for football talking about.
Right.
Another one is always a contract situation. Oh. Remember the last time we heard from Baker Mayfield prior to a practice, he was talking about his contract not being done and how there's a deadline by the beginning of the season.
Week one,
And how he loves being there. Let's get the update.
Oh, pretty much the same, but for me, like I told you guys, it's not going to affect how I approach this. Things will happen when they should, but for now I'm worried about getting better each day, finishing mini camp and this offseason program the right way, and going into training camp. So yeah, just handle it one day at a time.
And contract situations just suck. They suck. What's the number start with? 4? He wants a 5?
I think at this point it's got to be five.
It can't be three.
No, those days are over.
Don't you think?
He took the discount to go there in the first place.
We don't shine shoes anymore here, you know.
That's right.
He's not shining.
There's no shine box for Baker. No. Don't mess with my son.
Give me back my son.
You cannot mess with him.
Remember we were in the coffee shop when we were in San Francisco, Brockman, and
he was there with his wife.
I was like, is that Baker Mayfield behind us? And then as I said it, he was literally standing right behind me, so I think he heard me.
Yes, I am. he's like, yeah, it's me.
You could go up to him.
I just happened to look out of the corner of my eye. I was like,
it was also like 7 a.m. It was very early.
That's a good point.
This show is as Baker friendly as any show on television.
Then you walked in and went and sat with him.
Of course I did. Why wouldn't I?
Well, you're a little tighter with him than we are.
I'll know him like that.
Yeah. I'm not saying you go accost him. Just go, hey, Baker.
We did
give the nod.
Oh.
Yeah, because we walked in and he was sitting in the back.
Yeah, we were just kind of like, and he gave us the, I know you guys.
Yeah, I know
you.
Well, we all had Rich Eisen Show backpacks.
That was it. And then you walked in and were like, hey.
Yes, I know. Cheers. That's the way I act when I'm around Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
We all had Rich Eisen Show backpacks on, so I think.
Hey, then you understood that. Yeah. And then I got overnight oats and that was the end of it. So I'm being healthy, you know?
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.